You told us Windows 98 would be faster and more efficient with better access to the Internet.
It is faster. Over 5 million...
Yeah, so David Hogue says that the new Motorola Droid phone compared to the iPhone is very manly.
Very manly?
Yeah, because even though it's just the slightest hair thicker than an iPhone, it has much more angles. It was much more rectangular, whereas the iPhone is more sculpted. But the Droid is very manly, totally rectangular and stuff. And
so it's hard to use and very rough? And
well, he said it feels thicker in your hands because the iPhone slims down at the edges, and this doesn't. They said the slide-out keyboard, unlike older phones like Sidekick and stuff like that, with slide-out keyboards that maybe are delivered to people, or putting people near us. Anyway, that would have slide bearings and stuff like that that would slide incredibly smoothly and stuff. Okay. He said this one, they're very rough sliding open, like a man would like it to force it open, like digging through a trench or something. It's just a very manly phone, that's what I say.
That's interesting. What would it,
we have to go to a Verizon store and look at one.
But does that mean that like an iPhone is a not non-manly but more female like phone?
Yeah, because by the shape and stuff, the way he was talking, yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. We're gonna have a Verizon store open after our strip cast, which is what this is. I'm the world famous Mark Rene, and he's Gus, and we're in a restaurant. And we're in the Le Cheval Vietnamese restaurant.
You're plowing
in Walnut Creek, California.
You're plowing through the intro.
Yes.
Why are you doing that?
Why not? So we can get on to something more important.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
they already know all that.
Never mind. They've heard it all before.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yes, So I'm Wes. He's Mark.
Mm-hmm.
We do Slurpcast once a week.
Right.
And we show
slurp our food while doing a podcast. That's why it's a Slurpcast.
Wait.
I'm doing it. I've been slurping the whole time.
So our claim to fame is that we
talk about our food while talking technology.
At restaurants.
And old stuff. We try to bring up old stuff and compare it to new stuff if we can. Things like that.
Right.
So.
Lots of new interesting things going on in the background. No new amazing products other than the one we're going to talk about. But lots of patents being filed for new technologies that like Apple is coming out with.
So Apple's still supposed to come out with a tablet? People are still talking about some netbook or tablet or something?
Yeah, we're talking. There's a rumor, and you can talk about this a little bit. The Hackintosh netbooks that run on the Atom processor that people have been able to rig.
And Hackintosh means because Apple switched over to Intel microprocessors a while back, it's possible to rig Mac OS to run on a regular PC of certain type, not just everyone. Doesn't have chip support for everything, but it can run on a lot of PCs.
Right. Well, one of their recent releases stopped that from happening. Basically, the OS update disallowed the Atom from being used.
So you couldn't run it on a netbook. You can still make a Hackintosh for desktop, but not for a little netbook.
Right.
Or something,
I guess that's correct for this specific particular processor.
Yeah.
But then the most recent update has re-enabled that so that people can, in fact, use the Hackintosh process to...
And still put it on a netbook.
That has an Atom processor. And so the theory behind that is that Apple may be coming out with something like a hardware device that has an Atom processor in it, which is why they allow this to happen.
Okay.
And that the reason why it the reason why they stopped it was purely a bug, coincidence.
That's what you think? Okay. That's what the article said.
That's what the article said.
Yeah,
about.
Okay. So I'm about several days behind on my article, so I saw an article that they had stopped it, and then Wes saw one newer than mine, like today or something, saying that they had started again. Okay. Yeah, I'm so addicted to Twitter nowadays that I get all my news from that. I don't look at RSS feeds as much anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you do that? What, are you just following people who are in the know?
As people point out, if you follow people who make the blogs, they'll tweet their blog entries anyway, so you'll hear about it and
That's true.
You want to and stuff. And other people will retweet good blog entries.
It's kind of like what we do with our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, I forgot to mention that. If you go to slurpcast.com, you'll see a blog entry behind each podcast that explains more details, gives the URLs that we talk about in the show, talks to gives more detailed news items about it, things like that.
Okay. So where are we today, Mark?
I said that when it was rushing through.
Oh, I forgot. Okay.
Yeah.
Today is Thursday the 5th
right.
of November.
Don't admit that, because when we post it 3 months later, it'll look bad.
Well, no, it's fine.
We want to make it sound like
we
want to
be honest and transparent with our users.
Okay.
Especially if we talk about something that's new and it's
not. Speaking
of
transparency, there's a website run by the federal government called recovery.gov,
right,
that has a listing of all the grants and all the loans that the government is making as part of this fake socialist recovery effort.
Fake socialist recovery?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You're not Republican, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
But this is just so clear. The Republicans started it. The original hand of bailouts
right.
were in at the end of the Bush administration. It was totally started by the
bullshit administration?
Yes.
What?
No. No, the bullshit
I like that.
Bailouts.
Bailouts.
Those ridiculous bailouts
right, yes.
of the $8 billion. That was under Bush.
Which went to...
And that was totally 100% socialistic.
Yeah.
But
which went to people's
Bush.
Pockets or instead of actually doing
or whatever. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So anyway, recovery.gov shows all the new stuff.
You do know that I was a registered Republican.
I should leave. Goodbye. I have to go.
You're done, huh? You're done, Mark.
I know.
You're
done. I know. So anyway.
I liked Bush.
Mm-hmm. What? What?
I was waiting for that.
What? Anyway.
Go ahead. Wow.
Yeah, he was entertaining. He was funny.
He was funny. Yeah, he was good. He's, yeah.
So I had a point. So anyway,
okay,
so recovery.gov has a layer in the LAYAR application for Android and iPhone. There's one of the enhanced reality things where it opens up a view of the camera and you move it around. That shows things on the screen overlaid with what you're looking around you. One of the layers is recovery.gov. So you can look around you and it'll tell you what businesses near you got a grant and what kind of grant they got or
really?
And stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was never interested in it before until I saw that. So now I had to start playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just incredible what waste is going on.
Okay.
Like some beauty school got a grant for $200,000, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Paxi's pizza parlor near me, which is kind of like Zachary's, got $450,000.
What?
Yes, I know.
For what?
The California Culinary Academy got $200,000. These turn out to be loans, not gifts.
Oh, okay.
But still, it's just weird.
And they're probably not going to get paid back anytime
soon. I know.
So.
It's just weird. Why is the government giving this money to all these people? I don't know. They wouldn't even say socialistic. See, it's more fascistic, because socialism is to give things to the little people and stuff like that, whereas it's almost fascism to support businesses and have this relationship between the government and businesses and stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, it's just very weird. Did your computer history quotes ever come back? No, that blog never came back?
No, it's dead.
Okay.
It's dead.
Okay.
I wonder if they ran out of...
Yeah, they just ran out of computer history things to talk about. It's all done. All gone.
We're done.
Just like Albert A's hair. All gone. No, there's this little girl, non-sticking steward. His 2-year-old daughter at the time, or something, 3-year-old daughter, looked at Albert A and pointed at his hair and said, "All gone." So I always say that.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I was there. Yes. I think he put her up. I suspect he put her up to it. But
oh, really?
But she did. He did say that.
What did he say? Like all gone? Point to his head?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
That.
No. The girl said it on her own.
Okay.
He may have prompted her earlier. No, she said it on her own.
Okay.
When we were there.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. All right, so let's go to some real stories here.
Okay.
The first article that I want to bring up is brought to us by Engadget. Acer Liquid Handheld Evaluated. It's not too shabby. This is a Droid device. It's not a phone.
Okay.
But it's brand new. It looks like it's going to be a very hot item. There's a lot of other companies, including like Creative, that are coming out with their own Droid iPod-like devices that do work on like Wi-Fi and things like that, but run the Droid...
Android.
Droid is
a Motorola trademark.
Yeah, which we'll get to as well, and that's why it's stuck on my head, because I actually like that device. Anyway, this Android handheld, this Acer Liquid handheld, the specs are basically, it's 1 gigahertz Snapdragon. It's been underclocked to 768 megahertz. And they're saying that Acer didn't change the interface, the Android interface, too much. Let's see here. Staying true to the Android 1.6 roots.
So it's just the media player, basically?
Yeah, it's got integration with Facebook, Flickr. It's got contacts, photo sharing.
Okay.
It's got a player for multimedia files.
Why wouldn't just throw in a phone and have it be a phone?
I don't know. Because there is a way to profit from iPod-like devices that run...
Yeah.
What I think and predict is that because Android will become popular as a phone, the applications mm-hmm. will also be cross-carrier right. compatible, right? So you could have like your Creative or your Acer device
okay.
and run the same applications that somebody with an Android phone has.
Okay.
But from a different carrier, different manufacturer. So like in other words, hopefully these will be cross-platform.
Well, what would you use for a phone? You might as well have that be your phone. What's the point of carrying something
else? Why I'm interested in the Droid.
Right. Okay. So you might give up your silly Metro PCS at some point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
Blender. You know that pretty much all the carriers now have unlimited plans? They're a little bit more, but even AT&T GoPhone has a $60 a month plan. Unlimited
really?
Text and... Not data, unfortunately, but unlimited text and calling. Yeah.
It's pretty much what I'm paying right now.
Yeah.
It's $60 a month for the Metro
PCS. But you have data, but that includes your BlackBerry. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
All the BlackBerry services that I use and don't use.
And how much is Metro PCS? What's an honest, a real honest price without taxes that someone would pay a month just for unlimited voice and text, including voicemail?
$35 a month.
That includes voicemail and
yeah.
includes stuff? Okay. So the other ones are more like 50 or 60, so I guess they are more. But they have coverage. You have nationwide coverage on the other ones.
Metro PCS is expanding their coverage slowly over time.
Yeah. But the AT&T GoPhone one has nationwide coverage wherever AT&T is. And then Boost Global is Sprint, so it has nationwide coverage for similar prices and all that. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I like Boost. Boost would probably be my next option.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm waiting for a good phone. I mean, that's the thing that's going to draw me, which is why
Verizon's
Droid may be a good bet. Mm-hmm. It's taking Apple too long to get other carriers involved, even though they may be legally obligated to stick with AT&T.
But not forever.
Well,
not
I know, but Sunday, it's just taking so long. I don't want right. to wait, you know, until 2000 next year, late next year, for them to actually like, have another carrier.
Yeah. Right.
Would be good if they came out with a CDMA.
Yeah, they would certainly have to do that for those other carriers,
Well, they could stick with GSM carrier.
Yeah, but in the United States, who else is there? There's a T-Mobile.
Verizon.
No, Verizon?
No, not Verizon.
That's
T-Mobile.
CDMA.
Whoops, sorry.
Oh, T-Mobile, that's it. Yeah. That's why they have
to call the CDMA. That's it, huh? Sprint isn't even...
No, Sprint.
Wow.
Sprint, Nextel, they're all weird stuff. Sprint is CDMA. Nextel is this IDEN, this Japanese IDEN thing.
Huh.
But no, it's not. Nothing is GSM.
Okay.
Although in Canada, Apple gave a franchise to its second cellular company in Canada as forcing that carrier to go GSM, even though it used to be CDMA.
Oh, really?
So maybe that's the future. I don't know.
Well, I remember when AT&T was...
Yeah.
Was it... They had
TDMA.
TDMA.
Yeah,
that
was
right?
different. Yeah, that's totally phased out now, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember when they went to their GSM, all their phones, you couldn't go back and get a TDMA.
Right. Yeah. So I suspect that's totally gone right now, but I'm not sure.
All right, do you have a story?
Yeah, the world really is ending in 2012, at least for you and me.
Okay. What do you mean?
Because...
What do you mean, Mark?
The MSN Direct service for our watch is ending in 2012.
What does that mean?
Microsoft has decided to drop it.
They weren't going to.
I know, but now they are. Now they're just dropping the entire Direct service, including GPS units, toasters, blenders, just everything that
everything has the smartwatch technology.
Jeez.
Wow.
I know. So what are we going to do?
I don't know.
It'll still work as a watch.
Yeah, will it set itself, though? No.
No, maybe not. Probably not.
Probably will not.
Well, it might, because I think the FM stations give some digital time in different ways. It might be able to set itself anyway.
They're not going to tell us what they're going to... Yeah. They're not going to tell us what's going to last after the service has been shut off, right?
I'm not sure.
Does the article talk about that?
I don't know.
Because I'm very nervous.
No, but the time of day might set automatically.
Okay.
Because I think radios send that out digitally nowadays anyway. But.
So we'll be walking around with about a gig of RAM on our wrist that is totally unused.
Maybe there'll be something better by then as a watch.
Oh. Right now,
well, the BlackBerry, there's a BlackBerry Watch.
There's a big lull in technology.
No, but do you know about the BlackBerry Watch?
No, I didn't.
You have a BlackBerry, actually.
I know. Yeah.
No, their BlackBerry has, or maybe it's not out yet or something, but there's a, they seem serious about coming out with a watch that'll display, that'll be an auxiliary display by Bluetooth to your BlackBerry, where you'll see the caller ID of callers, you can look at your appointments and stuff. Yeah, there's something going on with that.
Huh, that's
if your phone
cool.
would do it.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not sure what model of BlackBerry is required to use that.
Did you ever find that link to the site that I found the Digital Ink watches? You remember I was talking about that in the previous shows? That are actually like they wrap halfway around your wrist.
I could probably find it. I'm not sure offhand.
Okay.
I could probably find that.
Because those are very, very cool. The contrast is very high. And,
right. Yeah. Didn't you have one? No, you bought
No. I wanted to buy one.
Where'd you have? You had some other watch you were wearing once, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. I bought an Abacus. Not an Abacus. Yeah. It was actually, who's the company that bought Abacus?
I forgot.
Or
but it was kind of like that, wasn't it? Just a big
It was big, but it was just a digital display.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And the one you're talking about had I forget what it was. It had data and stuff, no?
The one that I was
wearing? The one you're talking about right now that you want to find the article.
No, it doesn't. It's just the Digital Ink watch. It's very simple.
Oh, the Digital Ink rather than LCD.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's white and black, and it's very high contrast. It's like, it can be seen.
All the book readers aren't really that high contrast then.
Really? This is pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
I forget the company that makes it.
Okay. Anyway, so as proof that the United States is falling apart and we're losing its edge and stuff, the United States up until not that long ago was in charge of the DNS system around the world and in charge of the entire domain name system.
Mm-hmm.
Like the United States agency would decide what countries got what suffix and .tel and all that kind of stuff. Well, that agency... I should really read these stories before I start talking about them, so I forget the details.
Okay.
But anyway, go to slurpcast.com. We'll have articles. That agency has now gone international. It's just controlled by an international body that the United States is nothing special anymore. And they're starting to have suffixes now in foreign languages. So while they have allowed international characters in the .com or in the .nz or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You could have international characters as part of it, but it still had the Indian in Roman characters for the country code.
Okay.
But now they're allowing those to be foreign also. So you have something that an American would look at it and not understand the entire domain name.
What?
How can this happen?
I don't understand.
How can this happen to us? I know.
See what happens
when
you get control of people in other countries? I mean, my gosh.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's about time. That's good.
What do you mean it's what time?
But see,
don't you love your country? Or
I do love my country, but I love my country loving other countries.
Oh.
I want one big, massive, like, love fest with countries.
So you're one of those internationalists? You want a world government? You want the United Nations to turn into a world government or something?
Here's the food.
Yeah. Okay.
That's him.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, thank you. Are we sharing? Or
no.
Yeah.
Do you want to share?
No, it doesn't happen.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay.
Thank
you. Your microphone is moving around.
Your microphone is wiggling around.
My microphone cable is wiggling around.
Oh, no. I got the fish sauce and you don't.
Oh, no.
So, let me pick another story.
Okay.
So, this is an article that I did not read, but I can talk a little bit about it. Let's see here. There's an article about comparisons between the iPhone versus Droid multi-touch keyboard.
Okay.
And I'll post
There's
that
a big
up
video. This is supposed to be a very good video of it, too.
That may be what this is all about. I'll post this up on the show notes.
Yeah.
It's basically just to demonstrate that Droid doesn't have a multi-touch soft keyboard.
It does, as well as a hard keyboard, right?
Doesn't have a multi-touch soft keyboard, and pretty much...
Not multi-touch. Oh, yeah.
Instantly, this person realized that he should probably share it with everyone else, since we've been getting a lot of questions about it. Long story short, Android 2.0 and the Droid's hardware support multi-touch. The device itself does not do multi-touch out of the box, and the soft keyboard suffers mightily for it.
Okay. Did you get the impression, since I didn't really research this...
Yeah.
Is there actually some hardware limitation in the Droid that it can never do multi-touch, or is just some temporary software issue?
No, I think Google is too friendly with Apple. I mean, they're too much in bed with Apple. And when they first came out with the G1, the T-Mobile G1, Apple, there was some kind of like letter that Apple wrote to Google saying
for patent infringement.
Yes,
probably.
Yeah. What was this? It was just like a sort of like friendly, please don't turn on multi-touch, even though the hardware can support it.
Okay.
And the OS, I think, supports it as well for applications and things. And some people have, I think, hacked it to make it come, you know, turn it on, and it works. But for whatever reason, the OS default doesn't come with that multi-touch feature turned on.
But that would be a big consideration, though, because if you can't ever get that working, it is harder to use applications without the pinching and dragging and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think Apple wants to own that.
Well, they may claim patent rights and everything.
But that's not true because that whole thing was there before iPhones.
Right.
Right? I mean, even Microsoft has their touch,
touch table.
It has multi-touch, doesn't it?
A pocket PC?
No. The thing, the what is it? The desk, the table.
Oh, the tablet.
No, the table.
The tablet. Yeah. Okay. No, you're right. You're right. Great.
No, that
Surface.
Surface. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So no, they can do that in Surface.
Yeah, but they may have made a patent arrangement with Apple or that.
Okay.
Anyway, but I would find out for sure because I wouldn't. I'm so used to the iPhone interface. I don't think I'd like single touch things anymore.
HP, I guess we've talked about this before, but HP has the all-in-one PC with a screen that's touch-sensitive.
With multi-touch?
I don't think it has multi-touch, no.
Okay.
We have to go to Fry's after this, because they have that particular laptop, or all-in-one unit. It's there.
Okay. Well, let's go to a Verizon store, too, if it's still open. It'll probably be too late.
Yeah.
Well, Price has some Verizon. Price has some Verizon thing. No, Best Buy. Well, Best Buy has the.
Oh, do they?
The Droid. And you get it cheaper. You can get the rebate directly instead of having to wait to get it from the mail if you buy it at Best Buy, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, we could go there. They're open pretty late. There's one out here, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one right down the street.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll be up. Yeah, we'll be up playing then. Yeah.
Thanks. All right.
I actually have an item.
Okay.
About what's old is new. Totally random. I just saw it in the blog right now. There's no anniversaries, no nothing, no real reason for this. Although there is an anniversary. Yeah, we mentioned this a long time ago, but I think it's like right now. Really is the anniversary of Hello Kitty or something like that.
Oh yeah, you had mentioned that before.
Yeah, months ago. But I think right now is when it actually is. Because I've seen a lot more activity about that lately. But anyway. But I have an item about the hybrid car, the combination of using electric motors to drive the wheels with a gasoline engine to charge the batteries to run those electric motors.
Okay.
That was invented by the Porsche brothers in 1901. And they built cars for a while with that technology in 1901.
Really?
And then later on dropped it because the pure... gas engine just seemed to work out better.
Okay.
They just got better mileage and better performance and stuff by having the gas engine go directly to the wheels.
That's crazy. So the gasoline engine was not to power the car, but to charge the battery.
That's the way hybrids are. Yeah.
But I thought there was some combination of both. Like the gas would actually. Give the engine.
The most modern hybrids. I've always been confused about that.
Okay.
What they really do.
I thought it was just for acceleration.
Yeah, but the original hybrids, as far as I know, were totally electric motors with a gas engine strictly to charge the battery. But
the first commercially available hybrid that was like small and fully and really well made. I'm not talking about the EV1. I'm talking about the Insight from Honda.
Okay.
That was a really remarkable car. They're still pretty popular nowadays. I'm thinking that I could probably pick up a used one, but not sure how valuable that would be.
Right.
Since the batteries, you don't know what the battery life has been like.
Yeah, because the batteries, you want to buy it new because they're essentially subsidized.
Yes.
So, because I don't think hybrids are really viable yet if they had to make their own way.
But, especially like a used car, a used market.
Which really may need new batteries any day, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's not Porsche brothers, it's Ferdinand Porsche by himself.
Oh.
But anyway, so this article has a history of hybrids, including that one, and later on developments in hybrids long before the modern era. So,
yeah, you had talked about this before. This is not new for you, right?
I talked about electric only.
Electric only
before. Yeah, electric only cars are back from that age as well.
Yeah.
They look exactly like the modern ones, just a whole bunch of batteries.
That's awesome.
The car. They made charging stations back then.
Really?
Yeah. You can either point to the old article or I'll post a picture again. I have a picture of electric charging station back then, exactly what it would look like. We drive up to it in the gas station. There's your electricity thing you pull in and put in your tank and stuff in your basement.
That's so funny.
They knew how to make liquid electricity back then, where you just poured it in the tank.
What?
Really fast. Isn't that a good idea? Liquid electricity, where you can just pour it in the tank and then the person drives off. Just like electric charging nowadays just kind of takes forever to charge anything.
So. Right.
Yeah. I guess that's where hydrogen
is.
I'm making it up, but doesn't it make sense?
Charging.
If you could liquefy.
Well, eventually, Mark, we're going to be able to pee in our gas tank and have it be fine with that, right?
Right. Well, you can already pee and make batteries and stuff, yeah.
Would that be considered a fuel cell?
Sure, you're the human fuel cell?
Yeah. We joke about being able to plug our iPhones into our neck.
Right.
And get power from our body.
Only vampires can do that.
Oh.
You can, where they bite you,
yeah,
that becomes an electrical source. People don't realize that, but you can plug devices in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, the modern day vampires can bite USB directly. You don't even need to get an implant later.
They can bite USB?
Yeah, you don't even need to get an implant later. They can bite and leave it in the shape of a USB ready to plug something in. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, people don't realize that.
No. That's impressive. What does it take to become one of those?
Just have a modern day vampire bite you.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Huh. And then you can become indestructible and live forever.
Yeah. However, you better learn really fast how to bite yourself, because you need to go around biting people to live. That's your food source.
You can't suck your own blood, though.
No. When I said bite yourself, I meant you need to learn yourself how to bite people. You know, what's the movie coming out right now that has the remaining humans in the world are being kept in cages and artificially sustained so the vampires can eat them and stuff? There's a movie coming out like that right now.
Yeah. I'm out of touch.
Okay.
I don't know these things. I don't follow zombie movies. Vampire movies. I love zombie movies, not vampire movies.
But you like the fake ones that show the zombies moving fast.
What? Oh, you mean like the Dawn of the Dead? That
completely crazy, completely
where they
ridiculous.
Run? Yeah,
yeah, you don't like that. Dude. Even Zombieland, they run in Zombieland.
The problem is that, running or not, those recent zombie movies were not very creative. They were not good at even his name himself, who wrote the original Dawn of the Dead,
right?
His last creation was really not that good. Didn't bring back that same sense of awe that the first one had. It was like, oh wow, this is really the actors were good at showing fear and.
Well, maybe the zombies evolved. Maybe that's his point. The zombies started out being slow and shuffly, but then...
And then suddenly they've got intelligence.
They get fast. Yeah.
And they can all decide to walk underwater?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They can
do that. Across to the city?
Oh, yeah. They can always do that. Yeah.
They just got smart enough
They just go faster now. They used to walk and shuffle underwater. You know. They don't need to breathe or anything, so why couldn't they go underwater?
It's true, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're dead.
Right.
All right.
Anyway.
Any more stories? I got...
I got a Google Wave invite finally,
right.
So I can talk a little bit more about Google Wave, although I just got it today and played with it a little bit only with one other person and haven't. I found a really good Google Wave manual that's on the ebook right now.
Yeah.
But they intend to publish it as a real book, so it's very good quality. And
Wave is
free, so I have to read that.
So Wave is just like having Campfire, but it's with other Google people.
What's Campfire?
It's like a real-time IRC application
where
multiple people can join and start talking to each other.
Yeah, but the difference is, I can tell so far from a little reading I've done, is that you don't have to go down to the bottom It's not always down at the bottom scrolling up. You can move anywhere you want in the entire chain of the wave.
Oh, okay.
And highlight one word and type a big comment about it, or start a new comment in the middle of two other comments, or you can make private comments or public comments that to you and the private people have a right to see it.
I know.
He didn't know, but I know.
You know, you have to tweet that? Overheard.
Yes.
I don't know, but... Anyway, so... As I say, you can just do all kinds of things in the middle,
uh-huh.
and they haven't figured out yet how other people know that you moved up somewhere and did something in the middle.
That sounds really confusing, though.
No, there's something I know. That's what everyone says. Wave is very confusing. But also, people claim they can collaborate on documents with it, but I don't see how that works right now. I don't see the difference between all the little comments you type in versus what might be the document.
All right.
But supposedly, it's like, you know how Microsoft Office, I'm sure other ones have the collaboration features where you can put comments and change tracking in the middle of a document.
Well, Google Docs does that now. You can have multiple people editing the same document, and you can see them in terms of color.
Right. But so Wave is supposed to be usable in that sense, mm-hmm. that you can have a common document you're all working on. But the Wave itself seems more like a bunch of chat messages than a document. So it's not at all clear how you'd ever turn that into a document, but that may be something coming later.
Okay.
I just have to read the manual. Anyway, just everyone says it's very confusing. But I haven't tried searching for any of the public ones. You can search for all the public waves that are inviting people to join, and there's hundreds of them without any real clue about which ones might be actually viable or not. They have subjects, but it's not real obvious which ones you ever want to go to. Like IRC channels, I haven't used it for years, but IRC channels, you might list all the channels. You might get 100,000 channels, and only five of them actually have anybody on them or something, right?
That's cool.
So anyway, maybe I'll report more about Wave as I had a chance to use it more and read the documentation and stuff.
I was a beta tester for MIRC from Merck.
Okay.
Which is written in Delphi.
Okay.
That was years ago.
Was it really slow?
No, it was actually fine. Very fast.
Do you remember Microsoft Comic Chat?
Mm-hmm.
And later on, just Microsoft Chat?
Yes.
Because playing with Wave kind of reminded me of that. But Comic Chat was this thing where it would show on the screen like a four-panel comic strip. And the panels would be replaced from time to time. It was a front end for an IRC chat room.
Right.
So the system would watch for all the different people in the chat room, and it would just randomly assign a character's looks to each of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then as anyone talked, it would draw a frame of a comic strip basically every frame was in one sense exactly the same, because there's just three or four or five people just kind of sitting around looking bored, talking to each other.
Right.
They would never actually do anything, but every frame was different. The people sitting around talking to each other would all look different in different positions to keep your interest.
Yeah.
And then the little speech bubbles that would appear above their head is what that character just said in the IRC chat. So at any one moment, no more than three or four people are going to be talking. So just draw a panel of the comic strip with those three or four people with what they're saying right now.
Right.
And then the screen would clear, it would give you another four panels and start filling in with whatever they
say. And I immediately kind of was like, what's the point of this?
I always liked it. I actually liked it.
And I just stopped using it.
I kind of liked it because it made it more clear who was doing what or something.
Okay.
That was just funny. I just thought it was funny.
Too. I think IRC for me at the time was just like text, and that was what it should be.
Yeah.
But
so I was researching a little bit today. I didn't quite get the answer yet, but I think it's still around. I think people still know how to download it and use it today on IRC channels. So my mission in life now is to have comic chat for Twitter. And instead of just having a character Twitter stream going by, each Twitter person will not only have their picture that they like in the chat, but each one will also contribute a comic book character. They'll have something like comic chat where they sit around tweeting to each other. Maybe birds.
Well,
how would everybody have birds flying around tweeting to each other?
But see, that's something that's already available in themes.
Right.
Like for, Simply Tweet?
Right.
Where you can choose your themes?
But not birds, not comics.
You can have bubbles with the icons of the actual people that are having a conversation.
No, that's not the same. I'm talking about like comic track where
I
would draw a real
cartoon.
A real cartoon. I can't say honest to God because this guy on this kid, this religious kid on Twitter, copied saying, thank God for something. Mm-hmm. And he said, I thought you were an atheist. Why are you talking about God? So I have to be really careful. I can never say, but anyway.
Thank God?
Yeah, I can't say thank God because that implies I'm not an atheist somehow. So I had to explain to him that notice that when I thank God, what I'm talking about, yeah, was zombies. I don't believe in zombies either.
You know, but he knows you're
not, you know, capable of talking.
But he knows you're not atheist.
No, he knows I am.
Oh.
And
darn.
Wondered why I'm contradicting myself and suddenly saying thank God. Because maybe I'm really not atheist after all. Maybe I was just lying.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. But I had to point out, notice that I'm talking about zombies and I don't believe in them either. I'm capable of talking about things I don't believe in.
Okay.
But anyway.
But you know that zombies are legit, right? It's just they'll appear, right. Those are fake. But no, zombies will appear when hell is full.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just want to bring that up.
That's in 2012, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Once Microsoft turns off its spot watch, its spot watchers, people think it's garlic, but it's actually spot watches that are protecting us. You knew that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that part.
Okay.
Wow.
All
right.
So anyway, so I'm talking about Twitter. So I was going to say an Honest to God comic strip,
right,
with characters or looking.
What is
all
an Honest to God comic strip?
Where God blesses, you know, God up in the heavens, the creator of the universe and stuff, where he comes down.
Is like a rabbi blesses blessing?
Yeah. Oh, if you want to see rabbis blessing, it's a hilarious movie.
Yeah.
A Serious Man is really a good movie.
Okay.
And one sense, it's tragic, but if you're Jewish, then you understand the humor in it, because I was laughing through the whole thing, and the people I was with didn't understand why I was laughing, but it was very funny. Huh.
What I want to know, mm-hmm, and I bet you can find this out on the internet,
right,
all the movies,
right,
where at least one character has irritable bowel syndrome.
Hmm. That doesn't exist. I guess movies do have fictional things, yeah.
No, okay. I just think that would be very interesting to. I know there's a few movies where the characters are farting and passing wind.
Well, that's what it is. Irritable bowel syndrome is just a very polite way of saying people are passing wind, have gas.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be very painful. They think they have a real problem. It'll be very painful.
Okay.
But the cause of that,
right,
is that they're not handling the gas properly. They're letting the gas build up and trying to be polite.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just letting it go.
Right.
Or go in the bathroom and let it go or something.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to be polite and they're therefore damaging their health by holding it in until it starts paining.
Mm.
So, yeah, if you know anybody who has that,
yes. Yeah, Mark.
I have, you know, because you know that I love fart apps for the iPhone.
Well, see,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, fart apps can be used. They actually have a purpose.
Really?
Yeah. Because for people who are afraid just to let go.
Yeah, I'm doing over yourself.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so for the
yes, sir. We're up to the fart app portion
of the
show,
point,
sir.
The highlight of the show.
Yeah, fart app
portion.
Would you like to stay around?
Yeah, you should listen in on this conversation.
I know. So
for people who are afraid to let it go.
Yeah,
this show has gone from being something that like was informative and gave out good information.
It is. I'm giving that right now. I'm doing that right now,
right.
Wes.
I'm so listening right now, though.
So,
go ahead, Mark.
Okay. So as I say, you can, if you have a fart app on your phone, which only the iPhone has, mind you.
I think there are some Droid fart apps.
No.
I think so.
No. No.
Yeah, I think so.
Because David Pogue coined the term, well, you admitted he got it from someone on Twitter, but he's the one promoting the term. Instead of calling things smartphones, the latest phones like iPhones and Android and free and stuff,
you
should call them app phones. Because what distinguishes them from older ones is that they have these big libraries of apps you can run.
So then Windows Mobile were like the first...
Yeah, app phone. So I claim that the iPhone should be called the fart app phone and all the other ones are just regular app phones.
Oh, okay.
I tweeted that to him and he never answered.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway. So you bring up a fart app on your iPhone, and number one, it can teach you that it's okay. It teach you to let go, just let it go and stuff.
It's not okay.
And the second thing,
it's never been okay.
You can blame it on the iPhone.
Oh.
Because you turn the volume down, for example. And a lot of the fart apps will show clouds on the screen or something, some visual effect. So fart yourself, but have the visual effect go by where people think it's the phone that's doing the farting.
Wow.
So they can be very useful for people with this fake irritable bowel syndrome thing to let go and then fart like the body really wants to.
I think that's the relief that everybody needs to hear.
And sometimes people might need the burp and be polite. But remember, there's burp apps also.
Okay.
And you can buy apps that are burp and fart in the same app.
That's awesome.
If you don't want to waste an icon, you know, you can buy the two combined.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, so if you ever hear of anyone with that fake syndrome, just tell them that's Hannah.
Can we have a lighter built into the next version of the iPhone?
There's like my fart apps. Yes, there are.
No, I mean a real lighter.
No, real lighter. Yeah.
So when people with
there's fake lighters, a million fake lighters.
I know.
So,
that way, when you fart in real life, you can get rid of the smell by clicking a button, having the lighter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and hold it down by your butt.
No, you show them. Yeah, you wave the iPhone around at them. They'll forget the smell.
Oh,
they'll be mesmerized by it. They
won't. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know people that would not work.
Right. Okay. Oh, you may have to get new friends. I forgot to mention you may have to get new friends.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Any more serious? That was a diversion.
So we did have a chat. We did wave. Anyway, really?
What?
The Microsoft Comic Sans font, that came from Comic Chat. That was first used in Comic
Chat. Really?
That's
what I had
this
no
says.
Idea.
That's what this says.
That's where it came from.
Yeah. This one.
And just like it came in this really popular font.
Yeah, let me leave that off. I keep throwing that item aside. I'll do it again. Okay. There's a website that has lets you make prank calls to the web. This is more of one of these. I just ran across this one recently, where you type in your friend's phone number, and it'll let you make a prank, an anonymous prank call through that website, and it'll change your voice and have background and stuff like that to kind of set up some prank call scenario for you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. That's great. Let's help promote bad behavior.
I know. Absolutely. And then, so are we ready for the best part of the show?
I thought that was the fart app.
That was useful. I was talking about that being useful.
Oh, okay. All
right. No, so now we need.
Now we talk about the actual fart apps.
Yes.
Or the useful apps.
Some people call them craps, but I think they're useful. What distinguishes the iPhone, and you're telling me different, maybe. I'll have to really check this out. But what has always distinguished the iPhone from the Palm Pre, from Windows Mobile, from BlackBerry, from Android and all that, is the 100,000, and the App Store has crossed 100,000 apps now. Many of them are just stupid books, but the things that only the iPhone can do and the other platforms can't, if you're trying to figure out which phone to get, absolutely get an iPhone. Because, for example, can an Android phone or a BlackBerry run Metronome? I know other lots of platforms, I'm sure, have a Metronome app of some stupid little blinking light.
Yeah.
Blink, 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 tick, 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 right?
Well, not quite like that, but...
Yeah, isn't that the way they work? Tick,
no.
Tick, tick, tick,
blink, yep. Blink, blink, blink. But not like that, though.
Okay. But for the iPhone, there's one called Metrognome, Metro G-N-O-M-E.
All right.
That has a little picture of a lawn gnome, and he waves his hand back and forth to keep time.
That's called Metro?
Gnome.
What's the Metro portion?
Oh, because they're metronomes, you know. The device is called a metronome. Right. You know. So it's Metro Gnome, see?
Gnome.
Yeah, anyway.
All right. I completely failed on that joke, but...
Right. Okay, if it's true that the other platform is starting to get fart apps...
Yeah,
that's
Android.
That's 6 months ago or something, right? Because the iPhone's gone through burp apps, gone through toilet paper shitting and toilet paper cleaning apps, stuff like that. Well, the latest are flying feces apps.
What?
Where you have, like, there's a couple of them mentioned here.
What?
There's one called Monkey Sheep Poop Fight, where a monkey and a sheep.
Oh, so they're like throwing it back and forth?
Throw back and forth to each other.
Nice. We reached a new level.
Yeah, I know.
Of grotesqueness.
I know. And there's one called Furious George.
Furious?
Which is Furious George, where the monkey gets furious and starts hurling his poop.
Hurling his entrails.
Yeah. And there's probably other ones, too, you know, but. Furious George is angry with you, so beware of flying poop. Defend yourself against Furious George throwing poop at you. Does Android have that?
No, I don't know.
I doubt it.
But there's a story we can segue to, which is what happened when we walked up on my lawn, Mark?
There was It looked like a bunch of holes.
Right.
There were a bunch of mysterious holes all over. It was dark.
Yeah, it was
and
dark.
A bunch of holes. And they were,
right.
We were trying to figure out what it was, and I had this guess it might be like a rototiller or something, one of those farm machines mm-hmm. that punches a whole bunch of
right.
holes in the lawn where you can put seed in or something.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looked like a bunch of holes like that, but I used my trusty little pocket flashlight.
Right.
And pointed at it, and it looked like a bunch of little turds all over. And we looked all over the lawn. There were just these little turds,
yeah, little
like every foot or two,
like
all
grid,
over the whole lawn.
A grid of turds.
So we finally decided it was probably fertilizer, because Wes's cat was wandering around, but we figured she probably couldn't have done that much. You know, so and all the animals in the entire area probably couldn't
be
do that.
Immensely thin, and,
yeah.
And she's not that organized when she uses the bathroom. So.
Yeah,
this is a pattern of yeah. feces.
So we figured that it's really just little pieces of fertilizer that just happen to look like poo, or maybe really are that they just use the fertilizer.
Are. No, it's real.
Really
I think it is.
Really
I think it's
of what species though?
Whatever it is, it's probably to make the grass grow.
It didn't
grow.
Smell, but it didn't really smell that bad.
I didn't smell it.
That's why I think it's artificial. It's got to be something artificial.
Really?
It just looks like poo.
Okay.
It really poo of any animal would be smelling.
You could just, well, isn't that like fertilizer? I mean, don't they like take the...
Yeah, you can, but it would smell. I'm just saying it would smell really bad.
Yeah,
real,
maybe. Unless it's a special kind of, a, like you said, animal that doesn't have smelly poo.
I know. I don't know.
We're full of awesome topics tonight.
Yes. Yeah. See, when smell-o-vision comes in, when they can record and playback smells immediately, then you'll have smelly poo apps and smelly fart apps and stuff.
Otherwise, it could be just a practical joke and somebody put poo on my lawn.
No, but it was all over.
I know.
It was very organized.
That's true. It wasn't just my lawn.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Okay.
There's a... You know that there's swine flu, right? And applications that deal with swine flu and stuff.
All right, here we go.
Well, now there's an app called the Swine Flute. It's a flute app where you punch the screen and stuff. There's a bunch of different flute app noises. But this was the shape of a pig, and it's called the Swine Flute.
All right.
And then... And yeah, your BlackBerry can't do it. See,
well,
what's in the BlackBerry? He always gets jealous about these things.
I'm jealous.
BlackBerry can't do. Why are you laughing? Why would you think that was funny instead of a very
swine
important
flute?
Reason? Yeah, the swine flute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very topical thing right now. How about fart explosions SFX prank? What would farts be like if they didn't have explosions to back them up? So these are the most, not just regular farts, but fart explosion farts. I can't decide what this one's, how essential this is. It could be important for some people, but there's the bed bug identifier app that just shows you pictures of bed bugs in all different situations to help you figure out whether what you see wandering around your house is really bed bugs or not.
Can I see? Is there a screenshot?
Yeah, I think it's meant to be serious. I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Hotel hotspots.
They do. There are bed bugs in hotels.
Store.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. So anyway,
I got a serious topic to talk about that I missed.
A serious topic?
I kind of missed.
A serious topic?
You're going to know a little bit about this. Apparently, so the title of the story is Throttling Scheme. Comcast announces new bandwidth throttling scheme.
Okay.
Comcast customers have been no stranger to bandwidth shenanigans. Now the company's back with a new data throttling scheme.
Yeah. What does it do? Is it off? That's just not a really?
Oh, it's battery. We're about to run out of battery.
Oops.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. Don't forget to go to www.slurpcast.com.
Be sure to get an iPhone for the reasons I told you.
Participate in the show.
Yeah.
In the discussions that are going on over there.
Okay.
And
yeah. Okay.
That's it. Thank you.